ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba.
Tuesday. Tuesday. Tuesday.
The specter of Sister Julia hanging over your head. That was the nun I had at St. David's School who always pronounced Tuesday the way you just pronounced it.
Tuesday.
Yes.
Did she? And you said, and this surprises me, she didn't say news.
She did not say news, but you know what else she said?
Muse?
No. That would be weird.
She likes the views?
Oh, that wasn't on back then.
Oh, okay.
I missed you it by a couple years. I would have stayed home and watched The View.
I know.
He's missing school again. Where is he? He's watching The View, that kid. Goof. One day out of nowhere, and I still bring this up to kids I went to grade school with, and they remember it just as fondly as me because it was so peculiar. Now, there's a stereotype about nuns being old.
And typically they
I'm
are.
I'm not kidding when I tell you, you couldn't even, I mean, some of the nuns I had were easily in their 70s and 80s, and I think beyond.
Most of them, right?
Yeah. There were a couple of, we had a nun, Sister Shannon, who was in her mid to late 20s. And she was.
Don't you wonder her backstory?
Yes.
I guess you didn't back then.
No, but I did back then.
You were very mature for your age.
Because I think I told you this. I was lucky enough on more than one occasion. The convent was a place at St. Damien that was mysterious. You know, it was so mysterious. Nobody went into the convent except the nuns.
Right.
That was it. And a couple of times I was asked, I was one of the more trustworthy of the students, I was asked to move, so they'd go, hey, we've got a carton of something, of nun supplies. No,
oh.
No, what would nuns, rosaries, I guess?
Yeah.
There's a carton of rosaries. Can you bring them into the convent?
Missalettes.
Second floor, yeah, missalettes, skincare products. Probably not. Whose Neutrogena stuff is this? That's the nuns. Just bring it in. Just don't ask questions. Just bring it in. So I was in the convent, I would say, over the years, three or four times.
That's a thing I never thought I'd hear you say.
Right.
I was in the convent.
I was in the convent a couple of times. Yeah.
Sorry, what happened, Bill?
It's very strange. But it was such a bizarre place. And when I would go through there, it just seemed so barren. You know, because nuns take the vow of poverty. They can't have stuff.
Right.
They just...
Not even Neutrogena?
They live on very simple means. Very simple means. And I'd always think to myself, okay, if I was one of the older nuns, I would just say, well, that's the way it is. I've been a nun for years and years and years, and all I have is...
This crappy t-shirt.
Right. Right. And it says, none of this makes sense, but it's spelled N-U-N. I'd say that's how it is. If you're a nun, you don't get a lot of stuff. They didn't have a pool table or anything like that. They just had a chair. In every room, there was like a chair.
And a very hard chair.
Yeah, hard chair. There was a dresser that had just the, you know, when you're a nun, there's no options. You just, oh, I think I'll go with this again. It's the black habit. I wore that yesterday. I wore it the day before.
Very slimming.
I got to wear it. It was very slimming. But I'd feel bad for Sister Shannon because I'd say, all the other nuns are like in their 60s and 70s and 80s.
Who does she have to pal around
with? She's in
her
20s.
So what did she do so badly in her teenage years that made her turn to the convent in her 20s?
I don't know. And she could play the guitar, which was cool. Like every once in a while, she'd bring her guitar to class.
She was the cool nun.
She was, yeah. So Sister Julia, who was, I think, if not the oldest, was certainly way, way up there. One day out of nowhere, she spent an entire class talking about what you and I would refer to as scotch tape, but she called it mending tape. So it was like mending tape, but she had like this slight Eastern European accent. So she, like, you would just call it tape. Like, if you go, what'll I talk about today? I'll just talk about tape. The kids will love this. I'll just explain all the great uses for tape. Except she said, like, at the beginning of class, she goes, today we're going to discuss mending tape. And we all looked at each other like, really? And then she did an entire hour. It was almost, it was a work of art, really, because I don't think I could talk about tape for much more than 2 or 3 minutes. But she spent an entire hour, an entire class, explaining to us all the virtues, all the fantastic things that could be done with mending tape. And to this day, like, I'll see a friend of mine from school, and I would just go, hey, I got some mending tape if you want to come by. There must be a bunch of things we could do with it. And we'll, you know, because it had so much impact on us. It was so out of nowhere to just spend a whole hour talking about tape.
Did she use it to explain to the girls that if they wanted to hem their skirts, they could use it?
You could use mending tape. Yeah.
Because that's not scotch. Well, I guess you could in a pinch.
Here's what it was in. You know that roller thing that they used to always have in schools? Like, now you would just get scotch tape and you'd hand it to somebody and you go, here, take what you need. But back then, it was like an elongated thing, and the tape went in a wheel, and then you'd pull it. And
yeah,
it was,
I have one of those at home.
You have one at home.
Because you can refill it.
Yeah, right.
Like kids today, and with school supplies, you just get the disposable plastic things.
Right.
But I like that really heavy-duty one that has felt on the bottom, and it's weighted down.
That's the one.
Because then when you're wrapping presents for Christmas, you only need one hand to get it. So
that's it.
Works out well for teachers and nuns.
You could have been a guest speaker that day.
Here's the weird thing.
It's young Wendy Snyder.
I wouldn't have called it mending tape.
Mending tape.
I wouldn't have called it mending tape. I would have said
tape. Tape.
But I could have really enhanced Sister Julia's TED Talk on tape.
It was, you know what? It was, seriously, it was the first TED Talk. That's absolutely right. Like, long before there were TED Talks, I think they used that as a demo reel when they were trying to sell people on TED Talk.
Reel
they go,
tape.
Look what this woman did for an hour.
Did you learn anything new about tape?
Yes.
But that was fascinating, because I bet you did.
Here's what I learned. She overemphasized...
Mending
tape. She overemphasized the fact that, you know how this... So the spool of tape comes out, and then there's a sharp part where you tear it off.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very adamant that we must be extremely careful, because one wrong move... And she told us that on two different occasions, and she showed us on her thumb... She's cut her thumb, and we're all like, oh, good heavens. Like you gotta get a medic or something.
It's not that bad.
No, worst case scenario is
it's serrated. It's not that sharp.
It's like a razor.
Either. Yeah. No.
But she went out of her way. She's like, kids, please promise me, you know, when you get to this part of the mending tape process, you'll
the
be
mending tape.
Oh, she must have said in an hour, she must have said mending tape 400 times, because we're all looking at each other like, she's kidding, right?
Of course, no one spoke out.
No, we were all just
very behaved.
To us, it was a nice respite from the norms of telling us some story from the New Testament. So we're like, any questions? Yeah, we got 1,000 questions about mending tape.
Just to keep it going.
We're like, can we talk about staples? Is there some way we can talk about the stapler tomorrow?
What was her TED Talk like about the paper cutter? Because if she's worried about you hurting your finger on the scotch tape dispenser, that paper cutter, I'm surprised.
That's the most dangerous thing in the world.
Oh, my God, Bill. I am surprised there are not more fingers that have been dipped in bronze and hung in every kindergarten room.
I know.
That thing still scares me.
We, to my knowledge, had safety scissors from first grade to eighth grade. We had safety scissors. But that thing was always accessible with it was like a guillotine.
It was for your fingers.
Yeah.
My fingers are aching right now.
I know. And there was never, like, we were never taught how to use that thing. It was just there in the corner of the class, and if paper needed to be cut.
The teacher usually did it.
Not always. Most times the teacher, but every once in a while. I remember Jim Keneally was very adept. A lot of times.
How many fingers does he have left?
One finger Jim, we call him. Sad story. He was really good. He was really quick with that.
Could use the mending tape to put your finger back on.
Yes. Yes.
God, you know, I think back of kindergarten and those elementary school years. I loved school.
Did you? Yeah.
I loved it. It was cool to learn stuff.
Yeah.
I love a good art project.
Sure. There was a big portion of class in grade school anyway.
Yeah.
Was art projects. Yeah.
On third grade, I think, might have been my favorite year. We studied dinosaurs. What kid doesn't like to learn about dinosaurs? See, I always say I don't remember a lot of my childhood. I remember third grade almost entirely.
Why do you think it was third grade? What was the magic of third grade?
Mrs. Zedek, she was awesome.
She was really good.
She was one
you
of those.
Tend, if you have a teacher that stands out, that becomes an important year.
She was just, she was one of the younger teachers. She was my Sister Julia.
Yeah.
Wait, who was the young one?
Sister Shannon was
one. My Sister Shannon.
Yeah.
She just seemed much younger than the other teachers, and they were all really good. I didn't have a mean one.
Yeah.
And they were, Mrs. Hummel was my first grade teacher, but she was older.
Yeah.
I loved her. She was great, but Mrs. Zedek was this hip, happening.
Isn't that great?
Reminded me very much of Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, wow.
She'd wear her hair in a ponytail with like a nice little ribbon or something, yeah. And she dressed very sharply. She really reminded me of Mary Tyler Moore. And we studied dinosaurs, so we went to the Field Museum and were able to go on a field trip there. And when you're a little kid and you see... Sue wasn't there then, but still, the Tyrannosaurus Rex that was there,
yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we got to make, because I get to mix projects in there, I got to make a dinosaur pillow.
Oh, nice.
And you could pick which one you wanted. I chose the Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
And I had the coolest fabric in the world. It was like this Peter Max inspired brightly colored terry cloth. God, I hope.
Perfect for the time.
Maybe my sister still has my Brontosaurus pillow that I made.
So it wasn't shaped like a Brontosaurus?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, but with that really funky, you know, I always had kind of a wild vision.
Yes.
Most people were doing like brown or earth tones.
Right.
Oh, no. Mine was like neon paisley terry cloth, and I loved it.
Oh, wow. Wow, I hope it's still in existence somewhere.
If anyone sees it at a Goodwill store, my mom probably gave it away. What are we going to do with this Brontosaurus pillow?
You were normally in trouble in school or not in trouble?
Just for talking.
Yeah. Oh.
And kindergarten, I know, it's hard to believe.
I'm shocked to hear this.
Mrs. Eggleston, our kindergarten teacher, had a quiet chair, and it was just a very big wooden chair. You had little wooden chairs that would go with the kindergarten desks that were very low to the ground.
Yes.
And this was an adult wooden chair, and it would be in the corner, and it was called the quiet chair. And I spent most of kindergarten in there.
See, I get that, but I learned early on. No one taught this to me. I just learned this on my own. If you could make the teacher laugh, you had free reign. You could do almost anything you wanted if the teacher was on your side, if they found you funny. So that was
That's always true.
Like goal number one was make the teacher laugh, win them over. And that was, that happened every year, almost every year.
Yeah, there are kids that did that. And then there were kids that made the other kids laugh and the teachers hated them.
Yeah, I know.
And it's a very fine line because in a weird way, I was a bit of a class clown too. And I would like to get the other kids laughing at me more than the teacher. Because to me, I wanted my peers to accept me. I didn't care if the teacher did.
Oh, really?
I didn't.
That's interesting.
I was smart and I did my work and I just chatted a lot. But I mean, I had great relationships with all my teachers. They didn't think I was the problem child.
Yeah.
I just would get, you know, they called it deportment back then.
What is that?
Conduct.
Oh,
I got really good. I got pluses and everything.
Yeah, that was always on the report card, was conduct.
Yeah, I got minuses there all through elementary school.
And your mom wouldn't even ask. She'd go, is it from talking? She would know. It must be from talking, right? Yeah.
I'll talk to anyone who will listen.
You really, by not having nuns, because the ones that I always had a clash with were the nuns. Like the regular teachers and I were always pretty simpatico, but the nuns, it was a very different mindset. You know?
Well, you're not a very spiritual person.
No.
And you, weren't back then.
And I would question things in religion class all the time.
That's why they didn't get along with you.
Right. Because they...
The problem child.
It was...
The heathen, they used to call you.
Yeah, Billy the heathen.
Billy, don't be a heathen.
Right. Sister Shannon would pull out the guitar and all the nuns would sing that together. Now, that's another thing about Sister Shannon was all the other nuns, being of advanced age, had names that reflected that.
Yeah, Shannon's young.
Shannon sounds like, hey, I got a friend named Shannon.
A breath of fresh air.
But the rest of them were, I'm not making this up, Sister Virginitas was one of the names.
That was, she put the virgin in Virginitas.
Yes. It sounds like if you were a transformer that could become a nun or a car.
Not Virginia?
No, Virginitas.
I never heard of that before. And am I going to get struck by lightning for saying that?
That has a very serious sound to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sister David.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't it? It's crazy, right? Like
And they don't sometimes approve of transgender people?
Yeah.
Right there,
yeah.
Sister David.
Because you wanted to point out, like I always wanted to raise my hand and go, Sister, a lot of the people who I know named David are fellas. But you, madam, sir or madam, appear to be a woman. What gives? I know, I'll take Wendy Snyder's quiet chair. I get it. You don't even have to say it. Just point at the chair. I get it.
I'm shocked you weren't simpatico with Sister David because you would say, there's a song written, My Girl Bill.
Right. We've got that in common. Let's be pals. No, it didn't play out that way at all. Every one of them, Sister Janet, that's the one who I told I wouldn't be making my confirmation, and she explained to me that I would be. That was Sister Janet.
You know, it's funny, we did talk about that, and listeners, if you missed it, we have everything up at WGNradio.com. You can look at the podcast, full shows, there are Instagram, you can find us there, and Bill had talked about how he wasn't going to get his confirmation. That was during the bonus hour, so yeah, there are little descriptions.
Yep.
And you said you didn't want to do it because that is supposed to be your time to...
make your decision.
Right. And I was getting, Dylan was getting confirmed, and I just wanted to give you an update. Everything went well with that. It was 2 hours long. Mm. There were a lot of kids.
By.
Oh my! I felt really guilty because the little alert that Vern Troyer died came. I got the
alert.
Should
have interrupted the service. Excuse me.
Can I get that microphone, Bishop?
I know this is a solemn time.
Well,
I just want to point out,
celebrate the life of Vern Troyer,
of mini me, who passed away. Please continue. You should have done that.
I was, the alert came over, okay? So I saw it, and it took everything in my power not to click on it to, you know, read the story. But in my head, as my thumb was going to click on it to expand it, I'm like, I'm in church.
Yeah.
I can't do this. Mm. And then, you know, the devil on my shoulder was like, yeah, but it's 2 hours. Your kid is going to take 30 seconds of those 2 hours.
Right.
Yes, but devil, I'm in church. Right, Wendy? That was the angel on my right side. So I didn't click on it. And I was very well behaved. I sang. I did everything that was required of me. And then we went to a lovely place in LaGrange, La Bona Vita. We went with the whole family. It was really great. And then someone asked Dylan, how do you feel about being confirmed? Is it pretty cool? And he said, yes.
Oh, then he did the right thing, then.
He did.
Yeah. Yep.
He did get a lot of money, so that could have helped.
That's a positive. Right. But he knows it won't always be like that.
Right.
Right.
But he said, yeah, I feel like, you know, I'm really a Catholic now. And that was, I know I did a lot of pushing.
Right.
But it was really wonderful to hear him say that. And I was just kind of eavesdropping. He didn't know I was there.
Him.
Nope.
Right.
Nope. Someone asked him, and it was pretty meaningful to me to
good.
Hear that.
Well then,
so he is not like you.
No, he's not like me. No, no. Had you asked me that same question after my confirmation, you may have had a different answer because I was coerced.
They made me do it.
They
That's what you
me
would
to
have
do
said.
It against my will. Yeah.
Against your bill.
Against my bill. All right, we'll take a quick break. Ryan Burrow, everybody, pull your scorecards out. Ryan Burrow sitting in for
Judy. You
Judy
forgot
today.
Her already.
That's how quickly it happens.
It's a double
one day.
Switch, actually.
Is it a double switch?
It is a double
so you'll move
switch.
Up in the
yeah,
batting order.
We got Bertrand somewhere.
Oh, that'll
too,
be
yeah.
fine. That'll be fine. All right, so that's coming up in just a little bit. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Judy Pilak is not here today, and I feel somewhat guilty.
Why?
Ryan
guilty.
Burrow is sitting in her seat right now, and I said. He was coming from the newsroom area.
Yeah.
And I said, who had fish? Because it smells like fish up here.
Not just in the studio, but the hall has kind of a fish aroma to it.
A
fish aroma. The whole area does.
So I said, do you know who had fish? And your answer?
It was me.
You owned up to it.
I did. It was three jumbo shrimp mixed with asparagus and noodles and a little bit of olive oil.
Oh, that
and,
sounds good.
I entered my calories into my Fitbit app, and everything seems to be okay on that end.
Good.
I'm sorry about the smells.
No, I'm
all right
with it.
I'm okay now that I know it's shrimp.
There you go.
Is that fishiest of me?
No, I don't think it's fishiest.
You know, when you
no.
microwave shrimp, they turn that reddish color.
Right.
They're already red.
Yeah, but it turns a little more solid red.
Yeah.
It's less opaque.
Well, the Happy Lobster Truck, I shouldn't say it, because people will rush over there, but
it's
outside our building, and that is Bill's favorite place, and
it's only $37.
Yeah, for a...
It's $17.
It's a little pricey, but it's worth it.
It is.
So worth it.
Bill turned me on to this, and I'm mad at him for turning me on to it, because when
it's
the Happy
really
Lobster...
The lobster rolls? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no mayonnaise. There's no celery. It's not chopped up. It's just hunks of lobster.
So good. I've written, by the way, you know, a couple months ago, Wendy, I saw The Shape of Water, and I've written a sequel where you fall in love with a perch. I hope
make
to have
it
that ready.
A lobster, please.
I got to change some stuff around, but it's you and a perch, and you just...
Perch is good eating.
Oh, boy. You have this kinship. It's magical
perch
almost.
Perch and walleye.
Perch is better looking because lobsters are really ugly.
Yeah.
But boy, they're sweet.
Oh, they taste so good, don't they?
So if you go up to Minnesota to watch the Twins play sometime between July and August, because that's the only time to watch baseball in Minnesota, they have something called walleye on a stick, and it's deep-fried walleye on a stick. It's like $13, at least when I was there a couple of years ago. It's one of their best sellers.
That
it's
sounds
actually pretty good. Yeah,
I love walleye.
That sounds very
walleye
good.
Fresh walleye from Minnesota on a stick.
Oh, yeah. What's
and
wrong?
And it's fried.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm. Nice. Fish talk.
Well, you know, maybe there needs to be a WGN White Sox baseball trip up to Minnesota. Huh?
You could probably make that happen.
Do a little bit of Mall of America, maybe?
Yeah.
Live broadcast.
All right.
I would love to go to that mall.
Set that up.
Have you never been there?
I've never been.
It's insane. Man. Like, you can't imagine, like, I was ready for it to be gigantic, and then when you go in there, you go, how can
Woodfield times two? Yeah, I mean,
with more than two, I think.
Well, times two, and then you've got a park inside, like an
amusement park.
Amusement park.
What?
There's an amusement park in the middle, like old Chicago? But better done. Much better done.
It's like Nickelodeon theme, so it's like Ninja Turtles and Diego and, you know.
But they've changed it over the years, because it was Camp Snoopy for a while, and it was all Peanuts characters.
So this is interesting. So I was there covering the Super Bowl, and they did all of the media stuff at Mall of America. So Adam Hogue and I, we each had our own tables and basically hung out there for 3-4 days. One of the days, and this might be more my generation, but they did a reshoot of the Mighty Ducks scene where they come rollerblading through Mall of America. If anyone remembers Mighty Ducks, I think it was 2 was the one where they went through the mall and they jumped and they took the guy's hat.
Yep.
They actually they restaged that in that same area
because
it's been 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not the same actors.
No, they just used other
same people. Skates.
Same different skates.
Yeah.
Even more impressive.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Great.
Oh, but on Sunday morning, the day of the Super Bowl, I got there super early because that's where the shuttle was taking us back and forth. And there are a lot of mall walkers at Mall of America.
Yes.
I can imagine.
A lot of Minnesota mall walkers. Excuse me. Pardon me. To your right. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry.
Come very polite, Peter.
What a mall to walk in, though.
You can't believe. It's just.
How many levels?
4, I think.
Is there 4?
I think if you did it all the way, you can get 4. But it's kind of like Woodfield too, where it's kind of tiered. Where I think the middle is maybe 3. But
and there's a bunch of stores where it's so big that they'll have like 2 or 3 of the same store within the mall
because you can't get to the other side to get to the other gas.
Different area code. Right?
Such a far walk.
Seriously?
It was like that at Woodfield for a while. There were a couple of stores that had 2. I don't know if
that
it is anymore.
That seems silly.
But when you see the size of this thing, it makes sense.
Oh, come on. How many mattress firms are across the street from each other?
Right, that's true. That's very true.
And how many Starbucks are across the street? It's all about owning the corner,
yeah,
right? It's all about owning the wing.
A store, though, if I'm thinking of a Gap, they're going to have different things at different Gaps. So
it's
got to
be like an extra Bath and Body Works on one side versus another.
Oh,
so
I guess.
You get your candle fix on one side.
Yeah.
And there are definitely more than one Starbucks. I know that inside of that mall.
All right, let's do the road trip. We can get a walleye on a stick.
Yeah,
that's all I need.
And go to the mall.
And do one show where you're just sitting in a boat trying to fish.
Is that the park with the what's the park that has the fountain and the boat and the pool and all that?
Well,
Tropicana Field.
The one in Arizona has the pool. The one in Miami's got the weird artwork in the outfield, and everything's like neon and glowing and salsa music at you
with an Art Deco doll. A giant, it's very strange looking. Wendy, yesterday, you and I spoke at great length about Michelle Wolfe, who was the speaker, the comic, the comedian at the...
No, they don't want comedian. Come on.
I still see it once
the
in a while.
The funny girl.
Funny girl. Let's go with the funny girl. At the Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, a lot of people very upset at the way she handled herself during her 19-minute comedy set, saying that she was malicious toward Sarah Huckabee, Colonel Sanders, and other people who were in the room, that she really needed to be a lot nicer. So I said yesterday, did you know she was the child of Colonel Sanders?
No, but do you know that you're able to do KFC references for the Bushes?
Yeah.
You just, that and the White House go together.
They sponsor me.
I guess you like white meat.
Well, yes.
I like legs and thighs.
Yeah. All right, so
that's my cue, guys. You take care.
Ryan, are you leaving? Stay here.
You know what? Do you have to go?
No, no.
Oh, you can
Ryan's staying. He's messing with you.
I just didn't think this girl was funny, and I think that's why more people are bothered by her. At first, I thought it was, you know, she's a woman, and maybe if a guy said some of this stuff, she wouldn't be getting all the heat. And then people are like, really, are you whipping out the sexist card? And I'm like, kind of.
Last night, I went back and I watched other correspondent dinners, and I saw everyone from Stephen Colbert to Seth Meyers, everybody who's done it has done similar material to what Michelle Wolf did. They have been very specific on certain people in the room and attacked them for their political structure and for their looks.
Yeah,
this is not a once in a lifetime thing. I'm trying to remember the joke that Jimmy Kimmel did about, boy, who did he do this joke about? Newt Gingrich. He said, how could Newt Gingrich be against gay marriage when he is the love child of the Michelin Man and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Right?
And they showed Newt's reaction to
that? They did not show Newt's reaction. They just showed him do the joke, and it got a nice response from the crowd.
I guess, but see, isn't it more acceptable coming from a guy?
I don't think so.
See, I do, and I'm sad to say that, but I just don't think she was that. Her delivery, I don't like her stand-up.
If you watched her regular special where she's not, I mean, this, as I pointed out yesterday, this is a very tough room because The room is so divided. Right off the bat, like if you go to a comedy special, if you go to a comedy club or a comedy special, the audience's goal is to have a good time. They really want to laugh. But at this thing, they're so guarded because, you know, they're trying to be politically correct and they're divided anyway because half of them are Republican and half are Democrat.
Right.
And even amongst those castes, there's still more dissension, you know. So there's so many different entanglements you have to navigate around to make that show work. It's impossible. And it's even more so now with everything that's going on. And also in the past, you've had a president that's kind of given a wink to the fact that it's a roast.
Right.
Now, Donald Trump's not showing up to these. He didn't go to last year's and he didn't go to the one over the weekend. So that element is also thrown into the mix. It makes it very difficult. The reason I bring it up is this. She's getting a lot of support from other comics. Dave Chappelle went out of his way yesterday to say she didn't do anything wrong because a lot of people are saying she better come out and apologize. And he goes, why would you apologize?
And she's not.
No.
She doesn't wish she could take anything back,
right? On The Daily Show yesterday, Trevor Noah. Now, keep in mind, she used to be a writer until December. She was a writer on The Daily Show. So Trevor Noah did this tongue-in-cheek thing, kind of castigating her, blaming her, saying, how dare you? How dare a comedian go out and make fun of the way people look? That's not a comedian's job. That's the president's job. And then he ran a bunch of clips of Donald Trump making fun of the way people look.
And he does, yes.
Yeah.
That's a fact check.
All right, so here's the interesting thing that you may not be aware of. Dennis Miller is slamming Michelle Wolf, but with an interesting twist.
All right, he's over. I'm over him, too.
Enough Dennis Miller?
Yeah.
It's so sad because Dennis Miller
was great,
and then people will go, well, because you don't believe with him, you're not in gel with him politically.
No, he became...
Something happened with him.
He became tiresome and would just say things, you know, it's the opposite of a shock jock, you know. He would say, he's like a smart jock.
Yeah.
He would say things just so you'd have to go look it up. He became pretentious. I thought he did a pretty decent job with the sports thing he did.
Monday Night Football. Yeah. I thought he was great on that.
It was a nice addition to it.
Yeah.
And then he just became a joke, in my opinion.
I don't know what happened. It's the strange thing.
And again,
thing.
Be funny.
Him. Yeah. They used to do a thing when he was one of the guys in the booth on Monday Night Football where they would do a recommended reading list where they would say, if you want to understand the references, here's a couple of books you might want to pick up and page through so that you'll understand what
That's
we're
going
to say to you. That's very funny. It's very funny.
Cha-cha.
Here's the... Right. He would call everybody cha-cha. Right. All right. So this is out of Huffington Post this morning. Former Saturday Night Live cast member Dennis Miller has vowed to go after comedian Michelle Wolf for daring to roast Donald Trump's administration at Saturday's White House Correspondent Association dinner. Here's the problem, though. He admits that he needs a few days to actually come up with the jokes. On Sunday, Miller, who was on Saturday Night Live from 1985 to 1991, promised to trump Wolf's polarizing performance by going after her with some venom. But this is what he tweeted. Listen to this tweet. What a horrid human being Michelle Wolf is. I'm going to read up on her over the next couple of days, and I will have a few brutally mean jokes about her by Wednesday.
Okay, first of all, if you're going to come back and destroy someone, announce it and then deliver. Don't say
right
it's coming up, you know, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday.
This was Sunday night. He was saying, give me 3 days. Oh. I'm gonna show this woman what funny is.
What an incredible tease, huh?
Yeah.
What a showman.
But one of his best attributes, one of his best assets was what a quick mind he has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you never say, boy, I'm going to take care of you. Give me 72 hours.
I mean, let me go work out here a little bit and get trained up. And
then you and I will talk. The internet didn't need as much time to roast Dennis Miller. Many people were amused that a supposedly quick-witted comic might need 3 days to write the jokes. Then there's a series of tweets saying, I love that it will take you days to attempt to come up with something funny, and you admit it straight up.
I know. It just seems very odd that he would do that.
Isn't that crazy?
I know he's anxious to get out there, and the story's hot now, but get your stuff prepared and then say, by the way, remember last week, Cha-Cha, when this girl did this?
Yeah.
Then you get your material out there.
3 days from now, are we going to even be talking about this anymore?
No.
I'm already starting to, you know, I mean, it's like the story's already seeming.
Right.
You know,
and in 3 days, he'll go, I need three more.
Yeah,
I need three more days.
Need an extension.
I got it then.
Yep. Here's what he could have done. He could have had one or two little pithy things ready to say, and I got more of this. Look for my tweet Wednesday. Just to whet the appetite of anybody who goes, oh, now that's the Dennis Miller I know.
And pithy was a great adjective for him.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Thank you.
Pithy.
Looking that up.
Here's a couple of other tweets. Sassy 8-year-old to Dennis Miller. Smell you later, Gramps. Then Dennis Miller says, you can expect my retort to that in the mail within 10 business days. Here's another tweet. Dennis Miller alone in his house, and then 5 days later finally yells his comeback into a void. Polite way of saying. Nobody will care in 5 days.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, timing is everything.
Yeah. Another tweet. By Wednesday, ? Somebody tell Dennis Miller that this is the dictionary definition of slow-witted.
As opposed, to quick-witted.
Quick-witted. Mm-hmm. Somebody else. No wonder Dennis Miller bombed on Monday Night Football. Ouch. They were expecting improvisation from a guy who needs 4 days to write a joke.
This really is out of character for him.
I'm so surprised. Because if you want to be on top of this, time is of the essence. You want to be the one who comments it out immediately so that any stories that are going to talk about it are going to mention you.
What's he doing these days? Is he up to anything? Is he writing books? Is he doing any touring?
I know.
I wonder if there's something kind of associated with this where he's trying to. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of publicity he's trying to ratchet up.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I just feel. We interviewed him when I was working with Roe at WLS.
Perfect.
And he was really angry about a bunch of different things that were happening politically. And I asked him the question. I said, Dennis, when I remembered you coming up, you were leaning kind of extreme to the left, and now you're extreme to the right. What changed? And he goes, 9/11, my man. He goes, I don't want to live in a world where I'm terrified that terrorists are going to take over the world. And then I said, but 9/11 happened under Republican rule, and things got really quiet.
Yeah.
I can't find out what he's doing now.
He had a television show until about a year or so ago. He was still doing a show that's similar to Bill Maher's show, but I don't know.
Was it on one of the premium channels?
It was.
Yeah. Well, it might have been HBO.
Okay.
It might have been HBO, but I think that show's been gone for a year or so.
Roseanne is slamming Michelle Wolf now, too.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, and you'd expect that because she... Michelle Wolf was going after Roseanne's pal.
Yeah.
Pally.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about yesterday, I mean, the future of this correspondence dinner? I mean, I as a journalist, I still think it's... I've always thought it's been weird.
Have you ever... You've never attended it,
no,
right?
No, I haven't. My colleagues with ABC, they get all dressed up. I get to see all their Facebook pictures and stuff like that before they leave. I've always... And I don't... I haven't talked with them about it. I mean, maybe they... Having been there, maybe there is something unique. But being from the Midwest and watching them kind of get all dressed up and... You know, go to it seems strange to me because this is the person who you are going to cover, and these these are the people who you are trying to express to the American public, this is happening, this is what this person's doing, this is what this person's saying, and now you're going to this banquet, and I don't know. It seems weird to me. The optics seem very
But they
weird.
Always said of this dinner that it was the night where the gloves came off, where everybody knew there was going to be some ribbing, yeah. some good-natured ribbing. But now it's become so, I mean...
Everything's become so mean.
Yeah.
And the only, I never cared about this. I never watched this. I probably didn't even know it existed until there was audio of Barack Obama's performance, and we played some audio, and he was extremely funny. You mentioned that he could have been a stand-up comic because his
timing was impeccable.
It was really great. So then I was like, wow, this is kind of a cool thing. Yeah. I don't remember how many years ago that was, but that's when I first heard of it and cared about it, and I would be done with it, except now with Donald Trump not showing up, it's getting rammed down our throats with the reports of things that happen afterwards.
Right. They raise a lot of money for charity, and I know that it's supposed to be a celebration of, you know, First Amendment rights and freedom of speech, but, you know, you don't have to do, you can do that anywhere, you know, but maybe because it's the White House, maybe that gives it more teeth and you can, you know, raise a little bit more money that way. The Obama one was interesting, though, because I think Ro just had on a couple weeks ago the woman who wrote his jokes.
Oh, really?
She floated it to him.
Really
funny.
Came
back with some of them, and she's like, when she heard him finally starting to deliver them, she's like, his timing was pretty good. Do you remember the one where George H.W. Bush, the impersonator?
Yes.
They had both of them up at the podium at the same time, and they were both kind of doing the same lines or talking to each other, or one was Bush and one was Bush's thoughts or something like that. That one was pretty
funny,
good, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think it's a necessary thing. Also, this was pre-social media when this happened. Now you have social media, so you have freedom to say whatever you want via those platforms. So things have totally changed since this thing was first started.
I would not want to be the host for next year's dinner because the spotlight's going to be so on you.
I'm sorry, but you already it.
Is it me?
It's you. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, no.
The station's backing you on this. We were going to leave it as a surprise.
Oh, more Superman jokes.
No, I've covered there. I got a ton of kryptonite stuff to do.
Will they even have it next
year? Yeah, they'll still have it.
You sure?
Yeah. They will definitely still have
it. You know, the issue, what's going to happen is, and it's already starting to happen now, when you start seeing the big agencies pull out, New York Times pull out, CNN pull out, ABC News pull out, and it sounds like the New York Times already wasn't sending someone. I think NPR wasn't sending. So when people stop going, you know, and it's more of a virtual correspondence dinner, then, you know.
A couple of years ago for the Golden Globe Awards, there was an uproar because they said, Ricky Gervais has got to be stopped. This guy goes up there and he just maligns the business. He rips on actors and actresses and directors. And this is a horrible, horrible thing. It's the end of the Golden Globes. And then, you know, he came out again. They hired him back. He came out again. He did the same thing. And everybody just went, that's what the night is.
Sure.
And that is what the night is.
Well, do they just kind of want a vanilla, approach? I mean, is it, let's get Leno out here to, you know, say some liners?
Wendy and I were saying yesterday, there's plenty of guys, if you want it to be right down the middle.
Sure.
There are plenty of guys you can get to go right down the middle. But that's not interesting.
Yeah.
That's not fun. Get somebody who's got a little flair who makes it a little bit interesting and dangerous.
Or someone who can do voices.
That's why we wanted you to do it, Bill.
I can't do it next year. I got a banquet at night.
Another one.
Yeah. The Weeblos are raising money. I'm very much behind their cause. Ryan, thank you. Aren't you glad you hung out?
Totally glad.
I told you.
Yeah.
Well, it still smells like fish in here.
There are no more workspaces. I don't know if you've been in the newsroom, but they're starting to move us over to the new place. So it's like me and Vic, like, fighting over one desk.
That's
now.
It?
Yeah. There's elbow room and
be careful.
People are licking microphones and sneezing on keyboards just to keep people away.
Okay, he has an issue with people licking microphones like I do, people licking an exposed end of French bread.
Yeah.
The sleeve is never long enough for the bread. There's always that exposed end.
So you think people are going
to people are licking it.
Sure.
When in reality, that only happens three quarters of the time.
Yeah,
it doesn't always happen.
Exactly.
I never eat the exposed end.
I got to tell you, with my kids, I mean, you could just watch them walking down the aisle and just hands.
Oh, no.
Where those hands have been, you know? So
I'm sure they've licked my bread. That's why I miss my dog Tiki so much. I, honest to God, would come home, cut that end off, and throw him the heel of the bread,
so
and he would eat it. Yeah.
Sure.
He won't get sick. He was a dog.
You can do that with Vic Vaughn.
He does, there you go.
He does the same thing.
Can I toss it to
him? Yeah, he's very appreciative.
Yeah.
Very appreciative. Ryan, thanks for hanging out. We'll be back in just a minute or two and close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. right. We're wrapping up a Tuesday.
Wendy, can I just point out some of the... a cavalcade of guests in the next couple of days. Ron Romero and Skip Gripparis, an old friend of the show, Skip Gripparis, from the Joliet Rock and Roll Museum will be in tomorrow.
I want to go see that place.
It's supposed to be fantastic. It's just opening. It's a new venture out there near Joliet.
On Route 66.
Route 66. Dr. John Duffy will also be with us tomorrow.
The show's psychologist.
Yes.
We'll roll in the couch.
He suggested longer segments because he said he can't possibly get through all the problems we have in one short half hour.
He's really good.
And then on Thursday...
Pretty excited.
You're a fan of Spinal Tap, right?
Yes.
One of the greatest rock bands of all time. Derek Smalls, the bass player for Spinal Tap, will be a guest.
I love his mustache and the armadillo in his pants.
Yes. Yep. In that order?
Maybe.
And then on Friday, comedian Steve Byrne is scheduled to appear. We've had him on before. Very funny guy. Pat Tomasulo also this week. Dean Richards, Fernando Jones, Kurt Wagner. All kinds of stuff.
Plethora.
White Sox tickets tomorrow.
That's pretty exciting.
All that. And
it's getting to be baseball weather.
Yeah. Yep.
It needs to warm up. It is warm. It's going to be a lovely day today, tomorrow, and then snow coming for the weekend.
How about that? Every time you think you have it figured out. All right, that's it for us, everybody. Tune in tomorrow. Another episode. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.